This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bouncing back against Minnesota. And here come the Guardians, baby.
It's a good team.
The team we weren't expecting to do something. Might be doing something.
I think we're going to be involved all summer. You know what I'm saying?
I don't see.
And part of the reason I say that is just that, you know, they got out, like, again, you can't win it in April, but you can sure lose it. Ask the White Sox. I mean, they're 11 and a half back out of the first month of the season. Ouch. And I mean, we all kind of expected that out of the White Sox, but still, I mean, you, like, how disappointing is that as a baseball fan to know your team only has 7 wins going into the second month of the season? And we've kind of been there before. We understand what that's like. But the fact the Guardians are 17-13 right now, that it looked like they were slipping. They lost 3, and then they were able to come back and win a couple of these. I really think the schedule is pretty awesome as far as making sure that the last couple weeks of the year and where you are in the middle of the season makes things interesting. Because, you know, the biggest time we see the Tigers isn't until the last month of the year. They have 6 games against them in like the final 14 or 20 games of the year. And like that whole last month is all against the AL Central. And I know I'm looking way ahead, and I know the Browns will be playing then too. So, but I also just think that, you know what, they gave you the month that you needed right out of the gate to just kind of be competitive. You're game and a half back, and you know, you beat up on the Twins, you Royals, and you'll see the Tigers when you see them.
Steven Vogt last night after the game had some comments that I thought were kind of interesting. And let's just hear what Steven had to say, and then we'll break it down.
Okay.
I love it. It's a very different team, but we're fun. We have a good time. We're gonna have our ups and downs. We're gonna have our stretches where we look great. We're gonna have stretches where we need to work. And at the end of the day, like, we take it one day at a time.
He likes this team. We're a different team. I think that's somewhat interesting, because didn't it feel going into this season that it was a similar team to last year, a team that you didn't maybe have great expectations for, and they exceeded expectations? And Andy, I would think that expectations were equally as low going into this year, just because, you know, you traded Josh Naylor, you got rid of Andrés Giménez, you weren't sure where this team was going to go. Did they have enough starting pitching and everything else? Those questions are still to be answered. But I think it's interesting that Steven really likes this bunch and have some fun, and they've played some pretty solid baseball. They're right there, obviously, in the division right now. It's only May 1st, but still.
You know, last year they had such a good start that he could kind of do things on autopilot. He's had to manage a little bit more this year. I mean, he's had to make some – I mean, it's only 1 month in, but I kind of feel like when you start making decisions that, hey, Roque is going to have to sit down here for a little bit. I've got 2 guys that are playing a little bit better. You know, who am I hitting in the two-hole? Maybe I want to get Ramirez more at-bats, but I don't know if this is the right way to do it. Maybe we score more runs if we drop him in the lineup. Like, I feel like he's had to manage more this year in the first month of the season than he did last year. And, you know, obviously he had to manage in the playoffs. But with 162, I mean, there are times, I'm not saying he's on autopilot or any manager's on autopilot, but you can kind of work your way through issues. And I think that's where he kind of is right now. He's trying to work his way through some of the personnel issues of who to be on the field, when he needs him on the field, how to try to generate a little bit more offense and win key games. And last night, I think, is big, though, when you brought in a guy in Ortiz that things did not feel right in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And maybe last night was huge, not only for the team, but for him confidence-wise.
If he can solidify some things, that takes care of a spot. You know, because I think all season long, you know, we're thinking this rotation might be, you know, kind of in flux, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think. Tanner Bibee's locked in.
Mm-hmm.
I would think Luis Ortiz is locked in just because they went out, they picked him up, they brought him in thinking he's going to be in the rotation, and he's going to be a part of this. So he's going to get a little bit of time to find himself. And, you know, if he puts together a couple of games like he had last night, well, then that takes care of everything. You know, give your team 5-6 good innings, get into the seventh inning. That's outstanding. And I think that's what they're looking for out of him. Ben Lively takes up a rotation spot. And Ben has done a nice job since he's been here. No qualms with him. I think he does what a starting pitcher is supposed to do. He gives you a chance to win.
Right.
And then you figure out the rest of the stuff. Gavin Williams should be just fine. You know, the problem is all of these guys, including Tanner Bibee, have been a little up and down. You know, you're not looking at anybody and thinking, well, there's Corey Kluber. There's Shane Bieber when Shane had it going. You know, everybody in the rotation right now is, well, let's see how this one goes today. And that can change. You know, you stack a couple of these in a row together, then all of a sudden it solidifies some things. And I like the fact that they've been competitive. They've remained competitive. You know, they're not buried in the division. I mean, you know, they're right there early on, which, fine, gives you a chance to compete. They've done that while these guys haven't completely found themselves yet.
Two interesting points. Slade Ciccone pitched last night in Columbus.
And they're, you know, and get a good look at him, right?
Yeah, I think he gave up 2 runs. Let me look at the box real quick. I thought, as I looked yesterday, he gave up gave up 2 earned runs, that's right, and just 1 hit. He struck out 5. I mean, you know, and then he only walked 1. So there's some hope there, too. And then also, I mean, who knows where Bieber's going to be here? I got to think that if he can continue to feel a little bit better, yeah. I was reading this morning.
Saw that May might be, and yeah. This is May.
I don't. So to me, it sounds like help is on the way. Maybe if they need it, you know what I'm saying.
If Shane Bieber is ready to go, you need it.
Well, the question is how fast are you trying to push him back? That's all. I'm not. You need him when he's ready. That's the key, right? You can't. If you start to panic a little, it's not worth it.
I don't think this organization will ever push a guy like Shane Bieber to get on the mound if he's not ready to go. They didn't push Matthew Boyd last year, mm-mm. You know, and they just picked him up during the season. They're going to take care of those arms that they always do. Right now, every starter's ERA is above 4. That's okay. You would expect maybe somebody to be, and that's the up and down that I've talked about, Andy. That's okay. This one didn't go as well. The only issue with that is, does this team have the offense to pick those guys up? And I think the offense has been better than anticipated. Do you think that's fair? Better than anticipated?
I think they're kind of. They're not maybe a tad more.
Doesn't
Yeah. Like if you're ordering a steak, it's medium plus, right?
Doesn't it clearly seem, and let's just go around the infield real quick. It clearly seems like Carlos Santana is, you know, doing a victory lap. And if he's able to produce anything more than what he's done, okay. I think Carlos has been, can I use your word?
I mean, it depends on the word. A lot of them are 4 letters that'll get you fired.
This one's 4 letters, but it won't get me fired. It does start with F.
Go ahead.
I'm excited.
Fine. He's been fine.
But it was like some like collection of syllables I threw together.
That's my favorite Menigan word to describe anything in sports. He's fine. That's what he is. Kyle Manzardo can get you pumped up. Kyle, I think, has done a really nice job. And, you know, they've been able to get Kyle at bats while giving Carlos enough at bats and everything else. I'm hoping Carlos warms up a little bit because 219 doesn't do a whole lot for you. Right?
True.
That doesn't get you going. Gabe Arias at second base. He hasn't left you wanting much, has he? I mean, he's been okay. I mean, he's hit okay. He's been okay. I don't have any qualms about what he's done. And we know he's a placeholder. So I think we have 2 guys who are placeholders on the right side of the infield. Only a matter of time and when is it that Bizana shows up. And can I throw another name at you?
Mm-hmm.
It's only a matter of time until Ralph Velasquez shows up.
You know, it's funny. You got your eye on him. I've got my eye on
CJ.
On CJ Kafis.
Yeah. And he's been hitting like crazy, too. So you clearly have 2 first basemen who might be on the way up.
He can play outfield, though, too, can't he?
Baseball
Reference thinks he can play outfield left and right. So,
well,
I think that his best shot at getting up here is going to probably be in the outfield, don't you?
I don't even know.
Dan, I mean,
I am the wrong one to ask you all know, prospect questions.
All right. Yeah, he's been tearing the cover. It's hard. Like, you have to go out of your way to not notice him in what he's doing in the minors. And when you're looking at a team that's trying to, you know, instill some offense into this team, I'm looking through the box scores again. I'm like, last night, I'm like, well, look, he's in Columbus now. And, you know, he did a great job while he was in Akron. And when are we going to see this kid up here? At what point will that happen? I don't know. If he continues to hit, he's hitting 366 between the two teams. He was hitting, 400 in Akron? So, I mean, those are softball numbers, kids.
What do you think of this? Last two games, Guardians get wins. Brian Rocchio didn't play. It clearly seems as if Steven Vogt has decided, yeah, we need to find some offense here. And if that means I'm playing Schneeman at second and I'm moving Gabe to shortstop, see, I clearly, if you're Gabe, aren't you hoping that you get more time at shortstop? Because you know second base is taken in a year or so.
Yeah.
So if I'm Gabe Arias, I want to play shortstop as much as I can. Now, if that comes at the expense of your buddy, that's the way pro sports works. I mean, that's just the way that is. And Arias at short, I think he's done a nice job defensively at second base. I've been impressed with him at second base. And shortstop to me is clearly his best position. It allows him to use his arm. But I do think it's interesting that Vogt has decided he doesn't have to have Rocchio in the lineup every day. And Brian, that's too bad, because Brian Rocchio, playoff edition, thought you might be onto something there, didn't you? I mean, he was hitting. His glove's really pretty dang good. But if he's not going to hit...
And his glove this year hasn't been that good.
No, this year it hasn't been.
No.
And Gabe can play shortstop. He's got a big arm. I just think it's... I think that might be a move that leads to some other things this year.
Let me ask the eternal sports question. You know, are they who we thought they were? They're 17-13. They are.
So far, they're exactly who.
They match who I thought they were going to be.
Okay, Andy, because I think this is fair. If we looked at the talent on the team, I thought, okay, this team can do what it did last year because I didn't expect them to do stuff last year, and I trust this front office to put out a competitive baseball team. Mm-hmm. But if you look at what they have, I think they're in the back of all of our heads was the thought of, could this go south? Could this not work? Because if you look at the talent that's on the field, I think that's a real valid thought. It hasn't happened yet. Has that surprised you, folks? 216-474-0092. Does it look like a team that's capable of pulling off what it did last year? I'd say maybe. And I wish I could be more definitive about that, but I don't think I can. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.